Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 17th day of February, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is open forum and stay positive. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cymru am byth. And if you don't recognize it, that's Welsh for Wales forever. We will take callers, of course, especially tonight as it is a open forum. We do ask that you keep a bridle on language as much as possible due to the fact we have a mixed audience. Also, if there are more than two of us on the line at the same time, please be careful not to walk on top of each other. That's radio lingo for speaking when other people are speaking so that nobody can hear anything. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody who joins the call will be automatically muted until such time as you indicate to me that you wish to speak. And at that time, of course, I will unmute you and you can join the call. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And there is a daily mail page on that website where we keep that updated as often as possible with pertinent information that's coming, because it's coming fast and furious these days. Also, we have archives of our programs, some of them going back to 1999, yep, before the end of the century. And the last 3 to 5 years, we have almost every broadcast up there. When you go back further, there are just samples. But we do have a master list of all the programs that we've made over the years. Many famous people, actually, that we've talked to, such as General Ben Parton and David Duke and some folks like that, authors and congressmen, etc., high-ranking military people. So if you look in the master directory and you see one there that you're interested in, but it's not uploaded to the archived pages, if you contact me using the contact page on the website, I will be glad to upload it for you or send you a MP3 file of that particular interview. Ecclesiastes 1:18, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge or truth increases sorrow. Why would that be, do you suppose? Why would it be necessary to increase sorrow simply because you increase knowledge or truth? Well, take a look around us today. Whether you like the QAnon phenomenon or not, it has caused a lot of people to think and question and reason for themselves that did not do that before. Trust me. The work that we've done in this radio program has been on for 21 years, and before that it was in personal appearances. The work of trying to wake people up is not easy, not by any stretch of the imagination. And so forbearance is a necessity if you're going to do the work of Christ, which was our Messiah, our kinsman, under the anointing of Yahweh, who walked with our people 2,000 years ago and attempted to show them by example the way we should live. And it was difficult, even for the 12 who spent 3 years with him practically every day. It was even difficult for them. So can you imagine how it is for us today as we attempt to get our people to reason and think again and try to show them by leading by example, which is what we should be doing, by the way, in case you're not doing it. We lead by example. You don't tell other people how to behave. It starts with you. Go look in the mirror. That's where it starts. And if you're not walking the walk, you have no right to get on anybody else's ass about the way they're living their lives. So get that out of your mind right away. Now, I didn't have a particular individual topic for tonight because everything is just off the charts here lately, folks. It's absolutely amazing. The amount of stuff that's going on, the amount of reporting that's going on, and trying to stay on top of it all is amazing. Luckily, I'm retired, and I have time enough to spend in attempting to do it. But even as a retiree, it is not an easy job. So what we've done and try to do is weed out all the superfluous information so that you get the nuts and bolts or the gold, so to speak. By taking away all the chaff, you get the wheat, or you get the meat, so to speak. But again, so much is happening. It's just it's an unending job, and many times a thankless job. So and I appreciate the feedback from Angel about the song I was playing. Because I know when I first start the broadcast, if I start it early, once there's two or more people signed on, the music, the background music goes away. So a lot of people think that there's no show. So I play that background music mostly so people will know that there's somebody here. I'm hoping that you can understand the music because it's beautiful music, but it's not a very professional setup, and I apologize for that. But it's it at least lets everybody know that the broadcast is on, and when it hits the 8 o'clock hour, that's when I try to start the show. I try to be very punctual because I know everybody's busy these days, and if you're going to take the time to honor us with your presence, I want to be on time, which means pretty damn close to exactly 8 o'clock when we start the broadcast. The rest of the world doesn't seem to give a damn about being punctual, but that's not us here. I like to think that we that are part of the By Yahweh's Design community, we actually are By Yahweh's Design. In other words, we are Adamic men and women. We are to maintain our health. We are to maintain our dignity and our character. We are to lead by example. We are to walk the walk and not just talk the talk, if you know what I'm saying. So today will be an open forum. We're going to try to keep the basic focus of tonight as to keep our vibrations up, our energy levels up, our positive attitude up, because we are, again, sons and daughters of Adam, who is the son of Yahweh. So we're direct descendants of the King of Kings. We have a historic purpose for being here. And you're not quite aware of what that's going to be yet, but you're going to be astounded when you do become aware. So, again, no reason to be forlorn, to be upset, angry, thinking everything's lost, because that's what the enemy wants you to do, all right? They don't want you to be positive and everything. They feed off of negativity and anger and unreasonableness and outrage and things such as that. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to give the enemy anything like that to work with. Also, a real quick note, Adam is normally my co-host, and he keeps an eye on the chat box because it's very difficult for me to do that. Hi, Ronnie. Welcome to the program. when I have a moment, I'll try to skim through it to see if there's anything that I can pick out of there real quick. But it's very distracting to try to keep on top of what's going on in the chat box and try to do the monologue at the same time. So I ask your indulgence there. Okay. So again, tonight, if you have something to share, to report, if you have a question, Ralph says, I'm pissed off in a Genesis 3:15 manner. Aren't we all? Aren't we all? But anyway, if you want to call in, certainly feel free to do so. In the meantime, what I wanted to do is I'm going to go to Charles Weissman, who was a phenomenal writer of identity material. He put out a little handbook called A Handbook of Bible Law. And back when I bought my copy of it, it was before the days of the internet. And now you can get it for free. It's at a website called GiveShare, G-I-V-E, GiveShare, S-H-A-R-E, GiveShare.org, and they have it there. Now, under the title of Relationships to Other People, they have a lot of attributes that we're supposed to have one towards the other. And wait a minute, I just thought I saw something here about Adam. Maybe Adam's going to join us. I thought he was busy. Hold on a minute. Oh, he is here. So I'm going to make Adam the co-host so he can keep an eye on the chat room, and then he can also have people unmuted if I miss somebody that has a question. So, Adam, I hope you don't mind. I know you got company and you're busy, so if you need to jump off, you know, don't worry about it. But you're the co-host status, and you can jump in anytime something important comes into the chat room, or if somebody I miss wishes to join in the conversation, go ahead and unmute them. And they can jump in here. So in the meantime, though, while we're waiting for that, I wanted to go over some of the duties and relationship issues that Charles Weissman pointed out in his handbook, because sometimes our people forget about this stuff. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've come across people who call themselves identity, okay? Now, to me, if you're going to call yourself identity, it means, one, you're white, Caucasian. Caucasoid is another term for it. Our ancestors, the Israelites, came through the Caucasus Mountains many years ago when we were escaping the Assyrian captivity, and that's when our name changed from Israelite to Caucasian. So that's basically when we started losing our identity. We became the lost tribes, not in the sense that we were lost geographically, but we were lost as far as our heritage and our destiny. That's why Yahshua sent the disciples after the lost sheep of the house of Israel to remind them and bring them back into the fold. So we became Caucasians. And we seem to have forgotten the callings by Messiah and our elders as to how to behave one to another. If you read Malachi in the last days when he sends the spirit of Elijah upon the people, and I believe the prophet will take physical form, he will work to restore the family, which is you and I, folks. And he's going to work to do that in the way we treat each other, but also in the way we look to our Heavenly Father, because we've abandoned him. As a people, we've abandoned him. So again, if you're going to call yourself identity, to me, you're not only white, you must love the Father. Above all things on this earth, you must love the Father. And we are to love one another. So I'm going to read down through some of the traits that he has here on the website. Now, a lot of them, well, all of them have biblical references. I'm not going to give them because you don't have time to write them down, and there's just too many of them. So what I'm going to recommend, I'm just going to read off the attributes we should have, and if you wish to get the biblical reference, just go to that website, giveshare.org, and you can look at the same exact thing I'm looking at, okay? So under this, this is in section 3 on relationship to other people, meaning us, and sometimes strangers. This first section is duty towards your brethren. You should restore the erring. That means those who are outside Yahweh's law. Remember, sin is violation of his law. That's the definition of sin. It comes right out of Scripture. So we're supposed to help those that we catch making mistakes, such as eating unclean foods and behaving improperly one to another. Number two, to help bear the burdens of one another, okay? If it's happening to your neighbor, you're not supposed to just shrug your shoulders and walk away. If there's somebody creating an offense, and that's why America is in its trouble, because our people sit on their ass in their homes, and if it's not happening to them, they don't get up and get involved. I can't tell you how many times I was told as a young man, I saw a car accident or something going on, and I had older people saying, don't go over there, don't get involved. What kind of an attitude is that? Number three, to help those that are weak in faith, which is what we are experiencing in America today, in the world. Why are people going around with these damn diapers on their face? Because they're in a spirit of fear. They're not in a spirit of faith and trust. I haven't put a mask on once. Most of my family hasn't put a mask on. My son, the driver, doesn't put a mask on ever. And he's been all over the city delivering packages, touching things, doors. He's not sick. The people he delivers to didn't get sick. There is no pandemic, folks, other than in your brain and on television. Number four, to pray for the brethren. How many times do we do that? Do we keep them in mind? Number five, that which we do for our brethren, we do for Christ. How many times did he tell us that when he was here? If you love me, then love one another as I have loved you. Isn't that what he said? Six, comfort each other and edify one another. That means build each other up. Don't tear each other down. I can't tell you how many times I hear people discussing, especially people that are supposed to be in a relationship, and it's such a condescending attitude. Oh my God! Did we forget the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Or is that just a phrase? Is that just words? They don't mean anything to you. Put it into effect. Number seven. He is considered great who is servant to his brethren. He is considered great who is servant to his brethren. Everybody wants to be a chief. Nobody wants to be an Indian. Number eight, it is not good to do anything which causes your brother to stumble or become offended or be made weak. You see, we're supposed to lift others up. My attitude through most of my adult life is I'm here to serve. I serve myself sometimes, but I serve my family, my children, my siblings, but I also serve my neighbors and my countrymen. I serve my fellow Israelites as best I can. Instead, today our people, it's all about me. It's meism, right? Egotism. That's what the Greek word ego, they pronounced it ego, but ego, we call it. Ego means I, like ego eme, I am. That's the Greek for I am. Ego eme. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren whom God the Father laid down his life for. Our people can't even give somebody a hand. And yet the Father said to love him as he loved him. He laid down his life for us. He He didn't have to do that, did he? Of course, he knew that was only the flesh that was going to pass away. The internal spirit lives on forever. But he still put upon himself pain and suffering. He didn't have to do that. Do unto others as you would want others to treat you. That comes from Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6. The golden rule, we used to call it. Number 11, endure all things for the sake of the elect. That's you, folks. Endure. You know, everybody wants guarantees nowadays, I've noticed. Everybody wants a guarantee that they're never going to have to suffer, never have a loss. You know, God must not be real because I lost a loved one or I lost my job. We got 1,000 things to bitch and moan about. It's amazing. Where was the guarantee, folks? I was always taught, and praise Yahweh for the parents I had, I was always taught that when I laid my head down at night, I gave thanks for whatever I had. The idea, of course, being to be content with the things that you were given. Because Father knows your needs. You see, what you think you need might actually be harmful for you. Whereas if you give your life over to the Father, He knows what you actually need and what would be good for you. The next section is under forgiveness. You are to forgive the trespasses of your brethren. Now, if your brethren is being an ass and he keeps repeating the same transgression against you, that's a different story, all right? Some people need a good swift kick in the ass once in a while. And that includes children. If you're going to keep repeating the mistake, you haven't learned. If you haven't learned, you don't deserve forgiveness. Forgive those you have a quarrel against as Christ forgives us, as much as possible. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Notice it says, if he repents. That means shows remorse. Admits that he did wrong. Then you forgive him. Number 4, if your brother trespasses against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now that one, coming out of Luke 17, we'll assume that's translated correctly, but again, 7 times is, you're pushing your limit. I'm going to tell you, if you're related to me or you're a part of my family, and you trespass on me 7 times in the day, even if you turn all 7 times and ask for forgiveness, you're going to have a hard way to go. I'll take that up with the Father when I see him. Because that one I got a little bit of trouble with. 7 times is quite a few times in one day to be causing me the same grief, whether you repent or not. If any has caused sorrow, forgive and comfort him, lest he be overwhelmed by the sorrow. And here again, you're supposed to have empathy for your brethren, right? Especially today, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people are under a lot of stress because of all this bullshit going on. It's unbelievable. And right now, we need to reach out to each other in fellowship. We really do. I spend most of my time, when I'm not putting stuff together either for the show or my newsletter or the website, I spend a lot of time on the phone talking brothers and sisters off the ledge lately. And some of them are my family and close friends, but a lot of people are by Yahweh's design folks or people who are identity and listen to other shows. But they're part of my family. I consider them all part of my family. I consider everybody here tonight part of my family. And so you're all part of the prayers I have on a daily basis. And I believe it's our job, and certainly my job, to do everything I can to keep your spirits up and to help you, whether it's with advice or a suggestion or, in some cases, a handout of some kind, okay? And angel says, in this world we will have tribulation. Amen to that. Number six, if you do not forgive others, Yahweh God will not forgive your trespasses. You see, it comes back to bite you in the ass, folks. If you're going to be a hard ass with your brethren and you're just going to be hard-hearted, well, guess what? Some people call that karma. I just call it you get what you deserve. Okay? If you're going to be a dipsy doodle with your brethren here on earth, what makes you think when you get over to the other side with the Father, you're not going to get to stare him in the face and have him look at you and ask, why did you do that? When I gave you life and I was there for you, why did you do that? Just because your brethren don't agree with you all the time? Just because your brethren have a slightly different point of view? That's cause for the separation? Remember, the Proverbs talk about the seven things that Yahweh abhors, which means to hate greatly. Number seven on that was anybody who causes discord amongst the brethren. Think about that, folks. Anybody who causes discord amongst the brethren, he abhors that. Number seven, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. In other words, don't bring your grievances into your prayer closet when you're going to spend time with the Father. All right? I know it's human nature. Trust me. I know a lot of you folks who are pissed off about everything. And trust me, I also understand why today in this world we have a lot of things to be upset about. But you don't bring your grievances into the sanctity of the Holy Temple. You don't do that. Which is the Holy of Holies when you're in communion with your Creator Father. That's a very special place. Now, if we as men don't like it when women and men come into our circles and all they do is bitch and moan, I'm going to tell you, that gets old quick. And trust me, I spent a lot of time on the phone, like I said, and I've heard a lot of bitching and moaning and groaning. It gets old. So if it gets old to us, what makes you think it doesn't get old to the Father? Okay, what makes you think he's like this genie in a bottle that you can be whatever kind of ass you want to be with him, and somehow that's okay? Like you don't have to respect him? And yet you want respect. You want people to honor your personal preferences and your sensibilities, right? So what makes you think the Father doesn't expect that same courtesy to himself? Okay, now under this section here called love, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This word neighbor here is actually a mistranslation in most verses. It's talking about your brethren, which is the Greek word adelphos. Meaning from, Delphos, meaning the womb, Adelphos, as in the word Philos Adelphos, which we call Philadelphia. Philos Adelphos, that's brotherly love to your brethren. That's why it's called the city of brotherly love, because Philos Adelphos is brotherly love. Okay? So love your neighbor as yourself. Two, Christians or believers are commanded to love another as Christ, Yahshua, has loved you. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hallelujah. If only we could get that one straight. I've said this to people many times over the years. I can't tell you how many times I've had people close to me tell me they love me and then stick a big old knife in my back. Okay? A lot more times than I care to discuss here on the air tonight. Let us not love in word or in tongue, meaning words are cheap. Actions speak louder than words. So in here it says, but in deed and in truth. You don't need to tell somebody you love them because your deeds and the fact that you're truthful with them will speak it louder than you saying it. And again, I've known plenty of people to say they love me and then treat me like crap. We should walk in and pursue love, brotherly love. He that does not love his brother does not love God the Father. For he that loves Yahweh God loves his brother also, because we all come from him. Through love, serve one another. Number 7, he that loves not his brother abides in death and walks in darkness. Amen. Number 8, let all that you do be done with love or concern. Love works no evil, and thus is the fulfilling of the law. Let love be without hypocrisy. Oh boy, here's a good one. We are to fervently love one another with a pure heart. Love should be promoted and maintained. We should be tolerant and forbearing towards one another in order to show our love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Love covers a multitude of sins. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think we got a caller as soon as my software updates here. This program is not the most conducive. And let's see if it's working here. Henry, welcome to the program. Can you hear me? Henry, I think you're muted at your end, brother. Hello? Hello? Or didn't you want to say anything? Okay, let me check something out here. Hold on a minute. Henry, I've got you unmuted. Let's see here. I don't see... Okay, let's see here. Okay, Henry, I've got you unmuted. If you decide you want to join me, please feel free to do so. I don't know why you're not able to speak. I'm not showing any bars. So again, I've got you unmuted. Then we get under section, the fourth section here under honesty and sincerity. Honesty is to be provided to everyone and in all things in life you do. Honesty. My God, are we desperate for that today? This is probably the most dishonest period of time I've seen in my lifetime. We should think on honest things. Number 3, respect what is right and honest in the sight of all men. Number 4, we are to walk honestly. Romans 13. Sincerely or sincerity characterizes our love to Christ. Oh, that's another one. Sincerity. How many people are insincere about everything they do? A godly sincerity should characterize our whole conduct. Amen to that. He who is near Yahweh God speaks the truth in his heart. In other words, not even your outward words, but be honest to yourself. In other words, be a truth seeker. How many times have we said that on this program? Truth seekers are part of the elect. Number 8, dishonest gain is condemned. If we got rid of the dishonest people that have gotten their gain or their wealth or their properties dishonestly, if they were to be vaporized, do you know how much real estate would be available in America? Do you have any industries, how many homes, how much land? Yeah, because we got a bunch of thieves amongst us. Did I hear you say something, Henry, or are you trying to say something? I guess not. Okay. Number 9, the preaching of the gospel to be done with sincerity. 10, Christians exhorted to be sincere. 11, those with an honest and good heart hear and keep the word of Yahweh and bring forth fruitful work. Remember, by your works ye are judged. Now, a lot of people say, well, Dan, you can't be saved by works. that's true. However, the same book you're reading it from says that works or faith without works is dead. Unless you're reading a different book than I am. In other words, if you got faith, how could you not have works? How could they not show up in the things that you do and say, the way you live, the way you conduct yourself, what your value system is? How can you not have works if you truly have faith? See, the problem is, we got a lot of pretenders in this world. That's what I've found out. A lot of pretenders. They don't really have faith. They really don't even believe God exists, so they would walk a tighter walk, I'm going to tell you. Okay? I knew from the time I was a boy, I had eyes watching me when Mom and Dad were nowhere near around. I was still being watched. I knew that. We should pray on behalf of others that they may be sincere. Now, here's one more we'll get into. Lying. You shall not lie to one another. Lying is iniquity and an abomination to Yahweh God. Whew! Few people in trouble with that one. We should pray to be delivered from lying lips that speak contemptuously against the righteous. Can we say Jews and Jewish-controlled media? Yeah, they couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun to their head. The righteous shall hate and avoid lying. Acquiring treasures by lying is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Ooh. We should not respect or keep company with those that lie. Kind of reminds me of the motto from the West Point Academy for the military school. You shall not lie, cheat, or steal. Now, this is what the cadets used to have as a motto. You shall not lie, cheat, or steal. Nor shall you... associate with those that do. Nor shall you tolerate those that do. Lying, cheating, and stealing. Now, people in government and the military are proud of the fact that they lie, cheat, and steal. We should not respect or keep company with those that lie. It is better to be a poor man than a liar. Lying is a sign of apostasy. A lie lasts but a moment, but truth shall be established forever. Lying is an inherent attribute of the wicked. Punishment and judgment for lying. That's covered in Psalm 5, 63, 120, Proverbs 19. So, again, we could go down through this, a long list of attributes. I would highly recommend people go to the website, again, giveshare.org, and look up Charles Weissman's Handbook of Bible Law and End of the Relationships. It'd be a good refresher for us, okay? A good refresher. Let me check the chat box here real quick. Adam, again, you have the ability to jump in if I'm missing something. Let's see here. And Henry, again, you're unmuted if you wish to jump in, buddy. Let's see. Ralph says here, I think the law was put in for mainly our temporal salvation as a society. When followed, the white man thrives and the kike has no power over us and is confined to the ghetto with the other races. Well, that's why they were in ghettos, because of their behavior. People have forgotten so much. They are brainwashed beyond belief these days. Truly, truly brainwashed. What do we got here? Liars are hypocrites. Hypocrites wear masks. For example, actors. That's what the angel put in here. In fact, the word hypocrite comes from the Greek word Hippocrates, which was their word for an actor or a hypocrite, somebody pretending to be something they are not. We got a lot of them, especially in Washington, D.C., don't we? So, And again, if you have anything on your mind or something to report, because I'll tell you what, folks, with all this stuff that's going on, one of the reasons I started this program was to be a format for our people to bring information, not just personal, but information about what's going on today. Because, again, everybody knows the mainstream news media is completely apostate, okay? The mainstream news media is just abysmal. So who do you trust? How do we figure out who's being honest with us? Well, that's part of what I started a show for, is because it would be real people coming here, brothers and sisters, to share what we know ourselves about our own testimonies as we walk with Yeshua, what we see going on at our own community levels, what we're hearing from direct relatives and friends that we trust, and share that information here so that we can figure it out line upon line, precept upon precept amongst ourselves. Okay? So again, at any time, if you're in a position where you have that knowledge or something to share with us, again, don't be bashful. That's what this program was for. So again, I didn't want to make it a real long one tonight because I'm a little bit on the worn out side. But I just wanted to get on here and let everybody know that it's not a time to be forsaken. It's not a time to get into the Debbie Downer syndrome or to be the doom and gloomer. Do not. You're not part of that crowd. Okay? You're part of the remnant. You are a son or daughter of the Most High, a son or daughter of Adam. That means we don't have the luxury of just abandoning our faith and the commandment that the Father gave, that we are not to have a spirit of fear. And to me, that's what the faith stipers represent, are criminals in the eyes of the Most High. Now, these hypocrites in Washington, at the CDC and the World Health Organization, etc., they'll put masks on when they're in front of a camera, but I'll guarantee you off camera they're not doing it because they know it's bullshit. Okay? But they're part of this evil system that is trying to drive you all like a herd of cattle using fear and misinformation. And we're supposed to be above all that. All right? Yahweh will give you discernment if you stay faithful to Him. If you maintain your proper position with the Most High, He will not forsake you. He said, I am sending you a comforter. That was 2,000 years ago. Do you think we were walking around without that comforter? Of course not. Not real believers. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's that spirit that testifies to the truth. You know, in Thessalonians and other scriptures, it talks about the truth, or the spirit testifies to the truth. But the problem is, if you're not a real believer, if you do not fellowship with the Father, then why would you expect that He would grant you the Comforter to keep you out of trouble? Why would you expect that if you're not going to uphold your end of the bargain? I'm just asking, okay? Because a lot of people, that's their problem. They don't know why the Father is not communicating or giving them information, but they haven't taken a good hard look inwardly at their own walk. This world is in sad, sad shape. And again, all you have to do is go look at how many people have acquiesced to this monstrosity beast system and are kowtowing to liars and misfits like Anthony Fauci, who is a criminal, who should be in front of a tribunal. And yet people are listening to this mutant, spew his lies and poison out, and they're going around making decisions about their family and their own personal life, such as in whether to vax or not, based on what this miscreant has been telling them. It's just unbelievable. And yet, if the believers would join together and take a stand, there is no power on this earth that can come against us, folks. Do you realize that? Or don't you? Or don't you believe the scripture says, no weapon formed against you shall prevail? You know, that's in scripture. Just as it says, we are his battle axe and weapons of war. Well, how could we be his battle axe and weapons of war if we're to be failures? If the Antichrist and his wicked individuals are more powerful than we are? The answer is, they're not. Read in your Bibles, the only time the Israelites lost in war is when the enemy sent somebody in, as in the story of Balaam and Balak, and he convinced them to sin against the Father. When sin comes between us and our Father, the enemy has power. When we remain true to each other as brothers and sisters of our race, and we keep him in the proper position as our king, there is no power on this earth great enough to take us down. It just doesn't exist. I don't fear atomic bombs. I don't fear viruses. I don't fear jackbooted thugs. I don't fear the kikes. I don't fear any of them. Do they have power? Yeah, they have a false power that we give them because we love money, which they control, or we love the flat screens telling us lies. But if we don't give them that power, they don't have that power. They can't take that power. They're relying on you acquiescing and giving away your birthright to them. It's sad how many people choose to disobey and live in fear when you are part of the kingdom. You are a member of the most prestigious group to walk this earth, and that's those that fellowship with the King of Kings and call upon the name of the only one and true God, Yahweh. You know, there's people say, well, that's a Jewish name, Dan. Well, my ancient ancestors wrote his name in ancient Hebrew, and ancient Hebrew predates these kikes, these interlopers of this age, okay? So don't give me any of that crap about it being a Jewish name. It's not Jewish. Do Jews imitate us? Sure they do. Do they try to pretend to be the people of the Bible? Sure they do. Did the disciples and Christ warn us about those? Yeah, it's called Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. He did try to warn us. We're not paying attention, though. Because our preachers, the people that we think represent Yahweh God to us, are actually whores. They've taken a bribe, they've taken money to preach a doctrine of devils instead of the doctrines of the living Christ. Now, when I say the Aryan Christ and that you and I are DNA racial brethren, that goes back to antiquity because Yahweh does not condone race mixing. Never has and never will. However, that does not mean that there isn't a purpose for the other races. Whatever purpose the Father put them here for is not up to us. They're here. And we are not given the right to abuse anybody. That's not in the writings. As long as they behave themselves. But I'm going to tell you something. Whether you're white or non-white, if you commit murder, you're going to die. If you commit rape, you're going to die. If you commit kidnapping, you're going to die. If you commit pedophilia, you're going to die. as soon as we catch you and put you on trial, a fair trial, a biblical trial, and you're found guilty by a jury of white men, elders, we're going to take you outside that meeting hall and we're going to hang you in a tree. Because that's what you do to the people that commit capital crimes. If you're a traitor to our nation or our people and found guilty of it, you are going to die. If you're here pretending to be one of us when you have a loyalty to another nation, such as our dual citizenship Israelis, we find you, you are going to be executed as spies. Now, we just recently let that piece of shit Pollard return to Israel. He should have been hanging in a tree. He was a spy. So right now, the Antichrists are ruling the roost. That's not going to be for much longer. A day of reckoning is coming, and people are going to have to decide which side of the fence they're going to be on. Right now, through the media and through their control of this corrupt banking cartel, it appears that they have all the fighting tools and all the money. And yet they're still going to lose. Isn't that something? Praise Yahweh. All we have to do is stay true to our Father and to each other. Because that's what he commanded us to do. So again, if you're feeling down, if you feel overwhelmed by all the garbage that's going on, well, you're in good company. It's happening to a lot of people. But don't let that happen to us, that it overcomes us. We are the overcomers. He commanded us to occupy until he returned. He's the King of Kings. Earthly governments, earthly armies, earthly corporations, earthly banking are enemies of the people of this world. They are enemies to the King of Kings. They're not here for anybody's benefit other than their own. They're liars, deceivers, cheaters, murderers. And I, as well as many that I know, are praying daily for Yahweh to decide that it is time that this nonsense come to an end and true justice come upon this earth, because we haven't had it in a long, long time. And sure as hell haven't had anything come out of the Pentagon or Washington in any recent time. Now, I'm hearing reports that there's good things going on, but again, it's behind closed doors, or it's below the radar, or it's in reports but not being shown to us. And even Kerry Cassidy of Project Camelot was talking to Juan Osaven about this very issue, that many patriots, many good people are getting a little bit tired of this. Okay, if you're out there in your white hats, you're doing a good job, we need to see it out in the open, not this hiding it, or we couldn't handle it stuff. I'm sorry, but I don't go for that. What do you mean I can't handle it? I can handle hearing about what Jeffrey Epstein has done to these children and Harvey Weinstein, another Jew, what these perverted pieces of shit have done. It's okay for me to hear that, but not hearing that white hats took down somebody? We got to wake up the whole world before you can fix the problems? Where does it say that in Scripture? That's what I want to know. I like the meme I just put up on my website. It's not our job to wake up all the sheep, but it is our job to wake up all the lions. Yeah. It's time that the lions wake up. Because lions aren't going to sit around and worry about whether everybody's up to speed at the same time or not. Lions don't give a damn about any of that. Lions go out and take down an enemy that threatens their pride. I saw a short video somebody sent me, and it was beautiful. It showed this older lion being surrounded by hyenas, and the old lion was by himself, and he was fighting off the hyenas pretty damn good for just being one of him, and it looked like about 15 or 20 of them. But you could tell he was getting a little bit tired, and the hyenas were taking some pretty severe bites, but a few of them were getting in there to put some hurting on him as well. So it was only going to be a matter of time, and the hyenas were going to kill this lion. When out of the blue comes this younger male lion, and he joins into the attack, and the two of them joined together, and they decimated those hyenas until they ran off. And then the two male lions started playing around and butting heads and whatnot with each other in the joy of victory. It reminded me of stories of the Celts. Historians wrote about when the Celts fought the Romans. And the Romans thought they were ridiculous because this particular group of Celts fought naked. They had robes and they had shields and spears, but they didn't wear body armor and they didn't wear clothing even. And the Romans thought this was going to be a cakewalk. These are just barbarians, animals, until the battle started and the Celts kicked their ass. And when the battle was over, because of the testosterone, the Celtic men got together and had a great celebration because they had fought side by side and defeated a powerful enemy. That's what those two lions frolicking after the hyenas were driven away. That's what that reminded me of. Our men know how to be lions when it's needed, but they also know how to show gratitude for a brother that steps into the fray and helps another brother out. That's the way our people used to be. We pray that one day we'll be that way again. And then we'll show this enemy what it means when you come against the Most High and His children. And when truth and justice will return to the land. All right, I think we're going to... Oh, yeah, go ahead, Adam, that's you, right?
Yeah, just, I don't know, I just wanted to throw a couple things out that you reminded me of before you
sure.
go. The idea of the fighting with minimal armor, I mean, I don't know if you can probably just imagine being naked in the world and how on edge all of your senses would be tingling and just, I mean, you're going to be aware of every little breeze. All the hairs are alert and sending you information. Your feet are connected to the ground and communicating. So the way I see it, I spend a lot of time hiking in nature barefoot, and people look at me funny, but you can look into it. It's a thing called grounding and a whole bunch of information on it, but it's a couple of reasons people do it. One is your body, like a battery, when you're wearing rubber, cannot discharge that buildup of electricity. I don't know too much about that, but, you know, I think of when you shock yourself on the car, there's energy in your body, and when you're barefoot to the ground, it discharges. And I think there's a lot of reason, there's a lot of health benefits claimed with that grounding practice. But the other benefit is I'll go on like 6-7 mile hikes, and I'm as nimble and free and fast. I'm fastest with no shoes. You know, when I'm wearing shoes, you know, you got a certain gap. You can roll your ankle more easily, and you're just not using your foot muscles in the same way. So you just reminded me of that because, it's the more layers you put on, not only are you restricting your range of motion and your quickness, but you are literally shutting off all those nerve endings that are all over your skin. So you just reminded me of that with that battle.
Right. Well, there was another reason for it. For anybody out there that's ever wrestled, And I did do a little wrestling in grade school and high school gymnasium class, gym class. I played football and baseball, so to some degree it worked there. But I noticed in wrestling, most of all, when you go to the mat and you're wrestling another individual with everything you've got, your body temperature screams upward very quickly, and you are just sweating profusely. So think about this. You're on a battlefield with possibly 5,000 to 10,000 other men, all carrying spears, shields, swords, battle axes. Your adrenaline is pumping 150%, and you're swinging heavy armor at each other, trying to kill one another. Well, if wrestling a guy on a gym mat is going to drive your body temperature that high, can you imagine on a field of battle how long it would take for your body temperature to go screaming upwards? Now, think about this. If you're a Roman soldier or one of these other soldiers and you've got leather, and on top of the leather you've got metal and you've got a cape and you've got all this other stuff, your body temperature is going to go way high. You're going to fatigue much faster than the Celt who has stripped away all of that uniform and he's fighting with almost completely bare skin. Because now he's much faster. He's cooler, he's lighter, and faster. And the fact that the enemy doesn't have anything to grab a hold of. Because the Roman soldier, you could grab a hold of his breastplate, his cape, his belt. Whereas the Celt, all you got is slippery skin to try to get a hold of. You see the difference? So even though they made fun of them, because their idea was that heavy armor cavalry or heavy armor infantry was the way to go, the Celts went back to the ancient ways of fighting. And in the first case, anyway, they beat the Romans handily. Now, the next time they went together in battle, the surprise wasn't there as much, and they didn't do so good on the next battle. But the point of it is that that was their technique of fighting, and it goes back a long ways. I read a story many years ago about World War I, and it talked about when the Scots and the Irishmen would go into battle in World War I, that they would do the exact same thing. When the physical part of the battle was thickest, you could see the Irish and the Scots taking a lot of their battle gear and throwing it onto the ground. Their heavy clothing, any kind of belts and heavy gear, they just discarded it so that they could fight better. So, you see, it's in our blood, that kind of fighting and that kind of technique. It goes back a long, long way.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. There's a couple of comments in the chat about, Henry says, not walking barefoot in the winter northeast, and that's probably pretty true. Although I'm sure some do it for some distance. I'd be curious to see about that. Ronnie says he could always kick a football 10 yards further. I definitely have my favorite way to – I played soccer. I most enjoy just playing around, kicking a ball around in barefoot. It hurts a little more for a time, but you slow down your need to kill the ball. You focus a little bit more on technique and finesse. And there's right. There's a lot to that. I mean, when I'm in the mode, I can really fine tune my skills when I'm barefoot. Cause again, you're communicating on a much, you're just communicating more on a fine tuned basis. You know, all your muscles are firing with a different emphasis, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with regards to the sweat buildup and, you know, just imagine hiking across terrain with a bunch of gear on you. You're going to get rashes. over miles, you're going to get severe rashes probably. If you don't have all that gear on, you're a lot more efficient and able to probably travel farther distance. I don't know. Maybe not. But you also were talking about our relative strength to these mask wearers. My brother was just in town, and I took him to the grocery store, and we didn't wear masks, and we got accosted, as always, by this stupid woman. And she was really persistent. She wasn't aggressive. She wasn't going to stop us from doing our shopping, but she kept having stupid comments like, well, you're going to have to be prepared to to present evidence for your medical exemption. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm absolutely not. It's written right on your website. You can't ask me those questions, And it was one of those wasted conversations that was really pissing me off, because here I have a moron telling me what to do. And it occurs to me, there's not a living man or woman on earth who has any authority over me. And for anyone listening to this call, I don't know that it's something we think about maybe very often on that level. But when you think about it, not one living creature has any authority over you, no matter where you go. I mean, if you step into my house, then of course that's my domain. And you could make the argument for some of these private businesses that, they have some leeway there. But in my case and in this grocery store, they don't. They technically don't on a legal standpoint. And this woman is there to serve me. She's a moron. It'd be like taking orders from a 14-year-old. Nobody would ever do that. It doesn't make any sense. And I think it's an important reminder, Like, I went on a good little hike with my brother yesterday, and all but I think two people were afraid of us enough to stop their hike, quickly put a mask on their face, and push off the side of the trail until we passed. And it's just a head-shaking moment. But again, though, that's how weak they are. So when you really break it down, they're so afraid of us. And I hate it because I don't want these people to cower like that. I wish I could look them in the face and use all of my senses to pick up whether or not there's somebody who's friend or foe. I need to be able to look at their face to make that assessment. And they're hiding it from me. That's how cowardly they are. So anyway, it's not something that really needs to be said, but they're weak. They're super weak. And have you heard of Terrence Pop?
Who?
Terrence Pop is like a BitChute and YouTube guy. He was a longtime military. I think he was Army. Anyway, if you look him up on BitChute, he's got a ton of content. And he talks about prepping and how to foot it if you need to. But he was talking about how, he talks a lot about women in the military as well. And I know we agree on this topic, but he was saying that there's some chat in the chat box here about women or about what's happening with the military. But when you think about how they're weakening the military and they're alienating all the good, strong, masculine men away from the military. So while that may seem like a terrible progression, it might also work in our benefit, because what that means is all of our brothers, the strong, able-bodied, masculine, and aware brothers, they're not taking orders from that corrupt system anymore. They're out, and they're not hindered by that. So while the military is getting weaker, all the men that you want to be on our side are not in there. I don't know. It's just something I thought about yesterday.
Well, that's a good point. You're right. I mean, the people that are going along with this nonsense, but the downside of that is the enemies that we have in other lands are paying attention to what we're doing to our so-called military. Now, I believe they're smart enough to know that we have the largest army in the world when you count all the guys that you're talking about that have left the military because it's full of trannies and misfits anymore. And now they've become civilians, but that doesn't mean they don't know how to fight. It doesn't mean they don't have weapons. So we actually still have the largest army. And the army that they need to worry about is not the organized army that the Pentagon has. It's the unorganized militia. Because if they were to invade, those guys are going to come together as fast as you, I mean, so fast it'll make your head spin. So, you know, it's not, again, doom and gloom. I'm not doom and gloom. I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to go there. I refuse to go there. I was put here by the King of Kings. I have a mission to accomplish, and nothing they do is going to stop me from accomplishing that mission. That's my attitude. One day I'll pass over on the other side, so what? But in the meantime, I'm going to have the attitude of a lion. I'm going to have the attitude of an overcomer. I'm going to have the attitude that I'm on the winning side and the powerful side, because their side works by deception. Lies, deception, and our side, quite the opposite. And Angel says here that women were created to help the men. Amen. The first job of Eve was to be what? A helpmeet to Adam. It wasn't to be anything but a helpmeet for Adam. So children weren't even part of the equation at that time. She was there to help Adam accomplish his mission as a son of God, period. And women have forgotten that. They've fallen into this Jewish psychobabble bullshit that men's job is here to appease women. Well, I got news for you. I tried that for decades when I was a young man. Let me tell you, it doesn't work. First thing I found out was that you can't make women happy. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't make them happy. If you give them what they want, they're unhappy because now they don't respect you. They think you're weak.
Yep.
Okay? So the whole premise that my job was to make my wife happy failed, because that's not my job. I wasn't raised with the proper attitude that my first job is as a servant of the Most High to do the duty of Adam upon this earth and to keep truth and justice alive on the earth, to bring Yahweh's law on the earth. That was my first job, not the women and the children. They're not my first job. They're my second job. So our men, the first thing they should do is figure out, what is your job in relation to the Father? You figure out what that is, and you figure out what you will and will not tolerate. Then you start looking at having a relationship, because you've already determined your path, and a woman is not going to deter your path. If she tries to deter it, she is unfit for being your wife.
Yeah, that's one of their classic shit tests. They do it unconsciously, I think, but as soon as you alter your own course, your path, and let them derail you, they're not interested anymore.
No, it's, you know, it, and again, I don't like putting out the idea that somehow I hate women or I don't respect women. I have the greatest respect for our women, but it's the women that do it right. I don't have any respect for the women that are trying to destroy our men and to live outside the laws of the Most High. I don't have any respect for them. They're antichrist as far as I'm concerned. But it reminds me of a group out of Abilene, Texas, called the House of Yahweh. And they put out a Bible translation called the Book of Yahweh. And it was one of the first non-King James Version Bibles that I ever owned. And it was really, really good. Well, I bought a updated version of it decades later, and I was shocked when they had put a notice up in the front of the Bible that throughout the Bible they had changed the adjectives and the articles to the feminine whenever Satan or the devil were talked about. And their explanation was that they had done further research into the ancient writings and realized that whenever the adversary, which is what Satan means, was being talked about, the feminine forms were used. So that triggered something, and I started asking guys in the meetings that I attended after that, I said, guys, look, can I ask you a question? In your life, the people that you would call adversaries, whether in your career, your home life, whatever, the people who were the biggest adversaries to you having success or happiness in this world, were they male or female? The great majority said always it was female. I said, isn't that interesting? So our adversaries, a lot of times we're looking at things like what the Jews are up to or whatever, but don't be fooled, because look at how many women have risen in power today in the world of politics. And as they have risen in power in the corporate world and in politics, have those two groups not become more adversarial to all of mankind? The Yep. governments and the corporate world, when they have women in charge? So again, I'm asking the lions out there, when are we going to take back what's ours, guys, and stop this nonsense? And put things back to the way they're supposed to be. This world is going to continue to go to hell until we do. You know that. I hope you know that. So it might feel good. It might make you think you fit in better. You might think it's going to put you in a better spot with your girlfriend or wife. But take a good look at the world around us and the shape we're in. As women have been loosened, I should say, Pandora's box has been opened, so to speak, and we've allowed women into areas that traditionally have always been white men's rules, particularly elders, the older white men, and that goes back thousands of years. Our elders were the ones we looked to for leadership, not youngsters, and sure as hell not non-whites. And sure as hell, not our women. And again, no disrespect, but that's just not the way it's supposed to be. And as you look at the mess this world is in, how many times the people responsible are either female or non-white, and in some cases both. And they are twice the child of hell that even the Jew is, because they are indeed antithetical to all that Yahweh wants on this earth. They are exactly as Christ condemned them to be. So just things to think about here. Angel writes in here and says, a great advantage for men to marry a virgin. Well, there was a reason for that. We could get into the physiological and psychological reasons for that. I could bring guests onto this program that have told me all of the problems from casual sex and what it's doing to our women. It's not good for our men either, but it's really devastating the women. They weren't built for it. Because there are things that happen when a woman gives herself to a man. There are things that are happening to her body that at the conscious level, they're not aware of it. All right. When that man enters the woman, and especially when his seed enters the woman, there are changes that happen, and they're both physiological and psychological, and we are violating that on a daily basis. Some of these women are violating it almost on a daily basis, and it's causing a lot of mental problems. It really is, especially amongst the ladies. But again, We don't trust the Father. We don't. We don't believe what it says. We don't believe what our ancestors told us. We think we're smarter than all of them. And we're going to have to learn a lot of lessons the hard way. It's really sad.
I've witnessed that many times in my life. It destroys women. Like, and it's sad, but I mean, you can see it a mile away. There's like a panic in them. I agree with you. I've heard even reports that there's a genetic sort of change that happens to women. I don't
Yes.
really know how to prove that, but somebody, I guess people have studied that there's a, on the genetic level, there's changes, definitely psychologically, and it never goes away. The more casual sex a woman has, and I agree also that it's damaging to men, but I don't think it's as severe. But for women in particular, the more I think if they've had sex with more than two or three, they're in a different category. It's unfortunate, but that's why when I see in my town, because it's a beach town, it's a liberal college town, and there's women walking around with short skirts and all this stuff all the time. And it's terrible because it's a changing world and they've been lied to. And guys like us are not interested in them at all. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Henry put in here that women retain DNA from their sexual partners. And that's, again, that's, you know, the Bible says that after the fall, one of the punishments, if you want to call it that, but one of the conditions that was established because of what they did, Eve's obedience would be to her husband. Now, the King James words it differently, but the original text makes it very, very clear that when a man enters a woman, that is marriage.
Right.
So take this whole modern concept of marriage and throw it right in the toilet, because that's where it belongs. That's bullshit. It's got nothing to do with a court. It's got nothing to do with a piece of paper. What God created was that when a man and woman become one flesh, that's a biblical way of saying having sex, folks. Okay? If you can't figure that out, shame on you. One flesh. What can you do to become one flesh with a woman that's any closer than when you enter her and you're having sex? You're never going to be more closely one flesh than that. All right? So when a woman and a man commit that act, they are committing the act of marriage. Now, what happens at the DNA and the psychological level for the woman from that moment on? She's thinking like a wife and a mother, because as far as she knows, she's just been impregnated. Whether she actually was or not, doesn't matter. In her mind, it's the fact that this man has made me his wife and I could be carrying his child. She's going to cling to that man, period. Whether you recognize it or not, whether you want to believe all these Jew feminists from years ago or not, you can't change facts, folks. That's what happens. And the scripture in the book of Genesis makes it very clear. When that act is committed, the woman's attitude is that he is now my husband, my protector, my provider, and I am to be obedient to him. Now, that does not mean the man has a right to be abusive, etc., which a lot of men today need their asses kicked. I've met plenty of them. They're not real men. They may have male equipment, but they're far from being real men. They're more like adolescents, even up to the age of 70. They act more like children. Real men are going to understand that, and they're going to take that woman and do the right thing, as they used to call it when I was a boy, and take her as wife. Now, what we have forgotten is the fact that a man was built in such a way as he can love and take care of more than one woman. And we make fun of that today because the Jews have twisted our thinking. So today we say it's okay to divorce one, marry one, divorce, marry another. We say that that's okay. And yet God, Yahweh Father, said that that's wrong. You're not supposed to abandon those other women. You're supposed to take care of your children. Okay, but we make fun of the way God said to do it, but we say the way the devil says to do it is okay. So you have children with this one, abandon her, get another one, have children with her, get another one, don't have children, get another one, have children. We think that's okay. Well, that's bullshit. And that's why everything is effed up today, all right? It's simple, folks. You do it his way or you suffer. And I don't give a damn what television tells you, Hollywood tells you, a bunch of rabbis tell you, or that piece of shit behind the pulpit at what you call a church. They're all liars and deceivers. And if you don't think I'm right, well, then you come on the program and you debate me. I want you to debate me. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've done my homework, both in study and in prayer. Because I asked the Father many years ago, I want the hard truths. I don't care if it hurts. I got to have the truth. Why is this world falling apart? Why are people so unhappy? Why are our marriages and our families falling apart? And Yahweh honored that prayer. And he's been showing me. But you know the sad part? Our people don't give a damn. They'd rather hang on to the Jewish created ideas of marriage and life and family than the Creator himself. They'd rather hang on to this morass of cesspool life that we have today that isn't working for anybody. They'd rather hang on to that than give Yahweh's way a chance. That's the amazing part to me. Well, I got news for you. I don't give a damn if anyone agrees with me. All I have to do is be in agreement with the Father. Because when I stand in front of him, I have no doubt of what I'm going to be told. You folks out there, on the other hand, you may not like what you're going to hear, but I have no problem with it. He can take me tonight, and I'm going to be fine. And that doesn't mean I've had a perfect life. It does not mean that I have not made mistakes. Sure I have. I'm just like the rest of you. I've made plenty of mistakes. I like to think I've learned from them, though. I raised two families. I made the mistake of following what the society told me was a cool thing to do. And I lost my children when I should have been able to keep them, both sets of my children, under the same family umbrella. And so my children were raised by television, kikes, public school, and a society that hates the father, instead of having their real father on the scene to raise them the way he should have done. So I made that mistake. I've lived it. That's why I'm telling everybody out there, don't make the same mistake. Just like I'm telling you parents out there, that poor little child, that male child when he's born, do not mutilate that child with a thing called circumcision. I've done the research. I've repented of what I did and what my father did to me. It's wrong. It's just like this fake pandemic with a virus and a vaccine they're telling you is good for you when it's not. Circumcision is not good for the child. There is nothing about circumcision that is clean and good and for the child. None. You want to believe lies and deceptions. What did Christ say about those that hang on to the traditions of their elders when evidence says that everything you're doing is wrong? All of the empirical evidence says it's mutilation, child abuse. And yet you do it. Because it's what your fathers did and your grandfathers did. And that prostitute at the church says it makes it closer to God. And yet all of the evidence points to the fact that it's horrendous. It's traumatic. it's ugly, and you people haven't done a damn bit of research on the botched circumcisions, have you? Whole websites dedicated to the tremendous number of children harmed by physicians who botched their circumcision. But you don't care about that, do you? Just like the people dying from this vaccine, you don't care about that either. Nah, what do we care about that?
Oh, well, never mind also the financial incentive for the Jew system that pushes circumcision, which I'm sure you agree. I don't like calling it circumcision. It's a misnomer. It's genital mutilation.
Genital mutilation is what it is, just like killing babies is infanticide, the murder of children.
Yep.
It's not abortion. Abortion's a natural happenstance. About 10% of pregnancies naturally abort. That's just a medical fact, okay? Abortion's is not what we call abortion is infanticide, the murdering of children. And you're right, it's genital mutilation. It's kind of funny when Arab countries do it to girls, everybody's in horror. And they call it that, genital mutilation of poor little girls. And yet, when little boys have it done to them, we think it's a great thing. Yeah. Put that little child through that horrific trauma. Yeah. But when it happens to little girls, it's ugly and should be outlawed. It's funny, in circles of friends and family, when we get talking about this subject, and some of the women jump in there with the age-old, well, it's cleaner and neater and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, when are you going to go down and get yours? You know, I haven't had one woman yet say that she would volunteer to go down and get it done to her.
It's hard to know where to, if it's even worth the effort to talk, to try and talk that lie down. It's because they're so far removed from all the negatives associated with that practice that it's like, yeah, I don't even know what to say to that, but it's one of the most, for me personally, and I think for our people, it's one of the most important unspoken tragedies of our men. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
It is a tragedy. It is a tragedy, and that's why I speak out against it, because I am convinced of it. Through prayer, thought, study, research, and testimonies of family and friends who have had. And I come to find out, because I dared to bring it up in conversation, I found out two of my grandsons had their circumcisions botched. Now, thank God they weren't botched to the point where they're not going to be able to have children, but they had complications from it. I was never told that. Mm-hmm. Until we had enough courage to have a frank discussion about it between family members. And I asked the question, why the hell wasn't I told? They're my grandsons. And they said they were embarrassed. All right, so right there in my own family, two of my sons, my grandsons, had issues from this mutilation. And people want to defend it. I just can't believe people want to defend it. That's what really bothers me, I guess. How can you defend it? I don't understand it. I just, it's the same with this whole COVID thing and this complete stupidity that our people are going through. How do you defend it? How does your conscience let you defend it is what I want to know.
It's siding with evil. They don't maybe understand it, but that's how I see it. They are unwittingly siding with complete evil, and that's just what it is for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I didn't want to keep you on too long. I know you wanted to make it short, but yeah, just had some stuff to add there. So I'll peel out of here, Dan. Yahweh bless, and thanks for your time tonight.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Yahweh bless. Take care. All right. Okay, we're going to go ahead and we'll close in prayer, and That was a good, lively discussion. Thanks, Adam. And I hope that I don't mean to offend people. I'm sure I have, but I don't mean to offend people. But I also don't like seeing people continue in error, continue to do things that I know for a fact our Father in Heaven is not happy with what we're doing. He is not happy. Good God, people, wake the hell up. Please wake the hell up. Because I don't think his fiery judgments are all that far away. He's only going to give a finite amount of time for people to repent. And then it's over. Then it's over. Then you don't have to worry about what Dan says or Adam or anybody else. You're going to stand in front of him. And you have to give an accounting. That's not going to be a very pleasant experience, folks, if you have not done your due diligence to search out matters. It is a sin to accept things without evidence. Do you know that? There's a famous quote along those lines. I don't have the author of it, but it's basically saying the exact same thing. It is a sin to accept things without evidence. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We ask for forgiveness for our sins, Father. We have made so many. I do not know why you contend with us. I do not know why. But you have, out of a pure heart and love for our people. And we've tried and tried. And many are waking up, Father. We praise you for that. We pray for them to be covered by your precious blood. We pray for the men who are becoming lions to have the soldiers' ransom prayed over them. This is dark period, Father, and especially for our brethren in the middle part of the country and up in the northeast with this terrible storm. We ask that you'd watch over them as well, and that the perpetrators with this geoengineering and all of these nefarious projects, that these untold wealth of these criminals in the corporate world, in the banking world, in the human governments that are just full of criminals, may it be your will, Father, that the lions rise up, righteous lions of our race, and that we'll put this to bed sooner rather than later. Be with all those who call upon your name and love you with a pure heart, Father Yahweh. Bless them and protect them and guide them. And help us all to do a better job and to be good watchmen and to be good servants. And protect us always from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.